going to work with us for the next few days. So please, Susie, take it away.
Thank you. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you. And much gratitude to you and Liliana and Brock and probably, Rod and many other people who I probably haven't even yet met or know. Just a real acknowledgement that I come here, but really on the invitation and at the as a result of the effort that people put in. So just a lot of appreciation for that. So I want to begin by welcoming you here. Now, of course, that's odd since I'm just arrived. Who am I to welcome you? But I want to welcome you at another level, at the not just your body here, not just that you show up in sort of your personality as you think you should, but a kind of welcoming that invites all of you to be here. The idea being that when we come on retreat, it's an opportunity to open ourselves to all aspects of our being, to, in the silence, which is one of the major components of this practice in the weekend, we don't have to show up in our roles, in our personality for other people, in the way that we do in daily life. You no doubt, everybody shows up as a partner, or a parent, or a worker, or as a friend in a particular way, or even as a responsible person in the culture. You know, like we're always showing up with a certain amount of this is who I am in this moment. And one of the amazing things that this practice offers us is an opportunity to kind of drop that external orientation. How do I need to show up right now? Instead, turning it around and going, what is here? If I stop trying to be someone in particular, what's here? What is it like to explore this inner terrain? And a fundamental aspect of the Buddhist understanding is that if we turn around, look inside, and investigate and become familiar with what's here, that what's here is basically good. That we all have obscurations, we all have patterns of habits that may not be skillful, things of ways that we're greedy or we don't like things or ways that we space out, you know, but if we keep looking and we keep finding our way through those patterns, what's at the core of us is good. And the Buddha said the whole of the Dharma is here in this fathom-long body. So as we look in, we see clearly all the ways these obscurations function in us, the way they show up. And in that, we start to understand how they show up in other people too, which is a very important component of the topic this weekend of compassion. But we start by looking in and seeing what's here. And the more we see what is difficult here, the more we see how that brings us suffering, how those habits of wanting something we don't have or reactivity, that they actually are sources of suffering for us. And the reason they're suffering, the source of suffering, is they don't align with us. They're not really who we are at the deepest level. Have you ever noticed, I'm sure you have, that, you know, when you do something kind, when you do something generous, there's just a natural, like, Ah, that feels good. That feels right. Even if there's a little mental chatter like, oh, I shouldn't have given away that thing. Why, maybe I might need it in 2 decades. But the basic movement is one of kind, it feels resonant with us. And when we do something that is, has an edge to it, reactive, righteous, kind of wanting our way, it doesn't feel right. You know, it might feel good in the moment, you know, like I'm going to get what I want. But then shortly thereafter, it's like, ugh. And the more tuned in we get, the more we realize, ugh, that does not line up with me. And I think this is such a wonderful and affirming thing to notice in our lives, because what it points to is that what is wholesome and skillful aligns with us. It doesn't mean we're always clear what that is, and it doesn't mean we don't do things that are unskillful, but there's an alignment, and it helps continuously point us towards our goodness, towards happiness and contentment, and away from suffering. And I love this about this journey, because it's not like we're trying to fight our way uphill to become something we aren't. We're actually trying to move more fully towards what we are. And this is such a relief also, because it's so easy to get involved in the self-improvement project, you know? Or used to be you'd go in the bookstore and there'd be like this little section, self-improvement. Now I think they're basically self-improvement bookstores with a little section of novels or something. You know, we're not here to do it on a self-improvement project. The goodness is already here, and the capacity to recognize that is already here. We just have to take the time to slow down and see what keeps us from it, to recognize the patterns, to recognize the habits we've picked up from long history. Our own, our parents, our cultures. We are very permeable. We didn't make this whole story up in here. We're very permeable. We are completely impacted and affected by everything that has happened in us, to us, in us, since we were born, before we were born. And in that, we carry everything that happened to our parents and their parents and our first grade teacher and, you know, the person at the grocery store yesterday that was impatient with you. You're still carrying it. Of course. That's the nature of this interconnected, permeable world. And yet at the core of it, there is this goodness. So when I say, I want you to welcome yourself here, it's to welcome and investigate and be willing to be with who you are, not to be afraid of who you are. That even though there are unskillful habits, we all have them, there are ways that at times we're not wholesome and we make mistakes and we're reactive. But it's okay to meet those and to be interested in them, because they're in the way. And not something so much to be gotten rid of, but to see through and to understand they don't define us. But often we have to see them. See them clearly to stop our identification with them. This really points to a fundamental aspect of the practice, which is that what we're interested in is the truth. What we're interested in is the truth. Gloria Steinem once said, "The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off." So I think we have to be a little prepared for that. I have a poem I want to read to you. Let's see if I have it here. I do. Nope, I don't have it here. I'll read it to you later. So in support of this process of seeing the truth and allowing ourselves to see the messy truth, there's some things that Izzy introduced that I want to just really support you in, which is the silence. It's amazing that we can come together in a group and give everyone here permission and encouragement to go inside, to be curious about themselves instead of having to show up for us. You know, you can just have your day and I'll have my day, and I don't need anything from you. It's such an act of generosity to each other to say completely, you're on your own. You don't need to answer any question. You don't even need to smile to me or reassure me in some way. I'll just trust that you're doing what you need to do and I'll do what I need to do. This is such a beautiful thing that we can do together. And yet we do it together, and in that way we provide support for each other in the process. How many people, if they were at home, would actually sit and walk all day? Not very many of us. You might get a little distracted. So it's wonderful that we come together and do it. The saying goes, this is a solo practice best done in groups. We need each other. But in order to allow this, don't even go up and, as Izzy was saying, don't go up and sort of say to somebody, well, where's the refrigerator? No, just go ask Izzy if you need to know. Really let everybody have their day. And let yourself have that day. The biggest block that I've noticed to that is devices. Izzy mentioned it, but it's been interesting watching a huge change in even the last 5 years. And look at how you are related to your device now compared to 5 years ago. If you don't have a device and you've managed to stay free of it, just close your ears and go na 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 na, and don't get one. But for most of us, the addiction level, and it's amazing the amount of research now that has shown that we really are having an addictive response to devices. In that, have you ever noticed how you keep looking at it, or as if somehow something there is going to fulfill you? As if the ultimate message is about to come across. And it is this constant looking, it's really exaggerated, this tendency to try to look outside of ourselves for some sort of affirmation or something out there. So to support your day, I encourage you not just to put your device on airplane mode, but to turn it off. So please, if you haven't, please do that. It's very important for your practice. And then notice if you have resistance. Even as I say it, notice if you have resistance. Or you're partway through the day and it's at lunch and you go, well, I deserve to look at my phone, you know. Just sort of check in and watch your response. One of the things about this practice is that everything we do, everything we think is an opportunity for practice. If what you do is get all hung up that you need to look at your phone, that's your practice then, in the sense of, huh, this is pretty interesting. What's happening? How am I responding to this? What is the actual need or discomfort in here that is leading me outside to that? Everything is practice in that, you know, when we're sitting, it's a complete microcosm of the macrocosm. A day of retreat, whatever our lives are, however we are, will show up in one way or the other. You know, if you're somebody who, you know, has a very organized life and does, then your mind, of course, will start to assess how the retreat could be better organized. If you're someone who doesn't like schedules and sort of is chafing, then the fact that somebody else is having the schedule, you'll have a response to that. If you like me to be outside, when the bell rings to come back inside, you'll go, oh, but why should I go inside? It's lovely out here. Like, I could have a lot of compassion for that one. You know, so whatever arises in our day, it's not that something's gone wrong or that, oh, I'm supposed to be all calm and sitting and walking. It's like, it's not that. It's what's arising here? What can I look at in this moment? And then even more important than that is, what is my relationship to what is arising? What is my relationship to what is arising? This is the fundamental aspect of our practice. There's a certain amount of things in the world that we can adjust or change. We spend a lot of our time trying to fiddle with the things that we can. But so much in our lives we do not have control over. And even as very privileged Western modern people, we have an illusion of more control. All you have to do is have a body to know that you're not in control. So how do we meet all these different things that we can't control? Our minds. How do you meet your mind that comes up with all these crazy ideas and righteous stories and agendas? And how do you meet that mind? What's your relationship? Do you blame and judge, get reactive, try to fix? Or is it possible to meet it with compassion, kindness? Sense of humor helps. Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm thinking that thought again. Ever had that feeling? How do we meet this moment? So I wanted to just sort of, right here as we're sitting, just sense in. I've sort of said, what is it like to welcome yourself? So take a moment and just feel what it's like to be you right now. Sort of sense into your heart, mind, body, system. Notice the energy. Notice if there's some mood. Notice if there's any lingering emotion, maybe from something that happened this morning or something you're carrying in general from the past week or longer. Notice how your body is. Is it arranged in such a way as it's comfortable and alert? And in this process of getting to know what's here, are you willing to not fix what's here? Be interested, curious. Allow it to be as it is. A basic framework for our practice can be relax, allow, observe. Relax because this is the opening the door, the welcoming ourselves, the opening up some space in the body and the heart. Softening the body. Allowing what's here to be here. Be willing observers. Allowing it to be and then observing it. Getting to know what's here and understanding if we really see it, we don't need to fix it. It's that our natural system will be, our natural tendency will be to move towards more ease and towards our goodness. Just the process of observation leads us in the right direction. So most of us need a little bit of calming of the mind and body in order to become present enough to really connect with what's here. So I'm going to lead you through a brief body scan for softening and then lead you into basic meditation of watching the breath or some other anchor, as this is a way of settling our minds. And with any as with any guided meditation that I offer, if there's something else that's more appropriate for you or there's some other experience coming up you need to attend to, it's totally fine. But this gives you a little bit of a framework